2 Timothy tonight, chapter number 3. We've been here a few times in recent weeks. There's a phrase here that really has generated in my heart. And we find it in verse number 5. But I hope tonight that we can learn some things. A lot of folks today are very discouraged when they listen to the news. Let me tell you how you get over being discouraged by listening to the news. Use the off button. Okay, or you could probably be like, I'm gonna kind of assume the cue's this way. Just holler at them. Get it out of your system. I'll tell you what, it's we're living a day we need some discernment. We're gonna talk a little bit about that tonight. Before we read, we're gonna look at verses 1 through 9, and then zero in on verse number 5. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We have the marvelous privilege to gather together around the Word of God. We thank you tonight that we can certainly be encouraged in you. We're thankful tonight that we can know, thus saith the Lord, that we know that one day, very soon, perhaps even within the hour, the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we'll meet with you forever. Lord, we anticipate, look forward to that time, but you've left us here. To dwell here, to occupy here. So God, I pray that you teach us that we might occupy with great witness to a world that's lost and undone, certainly undone at the moment. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness," notice this phrase, "but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Because of the events of the day that we live in, I've actually come to this passage several times recently, and I want us to understand that there are a lot of deceptions that are present in our world today. And certainly with all the things that are seeking to deceive us, we need discernment. We need discernment. We need the wisdom of God as we go from one day to the next. Now, I want us to notice a couple things here. In verse number 1, it talks about that in the last days. In the last days. And sometimes we get the idea that that is just those last few days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me take you to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. And verse number 17 says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." He's talking about the present time. I believe that we are looking at, since the ascension of Christ, what we could describe as the last days. Now, in these past two millennia, these last days, we certainly find that there have been perilous times that have come. Now, a time refers to a certain season or perhaps even a time period of many different lengths. And thus, during the church age, there would be some intense and sometimes some very savage opposition to the cause of Christ. Now, there's something interesting here about that word perilous. I'm not a Greek scholar, but you know, if you've got the right books, you can look some things up. And one of the things you'll find is this word, that the word it comes from in the Greek language is only used one other time. And it's referring to the maniac of Gadara when it says he was exceeding fierce. So that word fierce and perilous are both with the same word. So it teaches a little bit about what he's trying to get across. Now, the reason for the first five verses, I believe, is that we may recognize and turn away from such behaviors. Did you notice the last of verse number five? From such turn away. What was the punctuation right before from? It's a colon. And what does a colon do? It teaches us or tells us, hey, something is going to explain why this has been said. And so God has said these things that we might understand. There's some things we need to turn away from. So when we study the list of godless in the first four verses, it's interesting, but we would probably think that it is referring to the world. When I believe, when we come to verse number five, it is not speaking of the world, it's talking about people in church. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They aren't necessarily passive, but could be active in ministry. They may look good, but having a genuine walk with the Lord. We've known folks like that. I hope you're not one of them. They can talk real good. They can put on a good front, but inwardly, they are phony. Empty Christianity is a constant danger to our churches. It's there all the time. It has been since the very beginning. And it's easy, by the way, to profess one thing and live another. And at one time or another, we've all been in that spot, hopefully not very long. Now, the reason many times you hear people complain about, I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. You know why they say that? Because there are. They've labeled it right. And I believe that what we need to do is stop and look inside and inspect ourselves. It's good for us to examine ourselves, whether it be in the faith or not. And so we look at this passage, and a couple of things I would like to really get across tonight. One of them, as we look at verse number five, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Empty Christianity is having a form without the power. These would claim to be Christian, and if they read this chapter, they would probably believe it applies to somebody else. There's something about hypocrisy, and that is hypocrites seldom recognize their own hypocrisy. Case in point, as Jesus dealt with the Pharisees, he called them hypocrites. They couldn't see it. Many people substitute their outward connection with their church as an inward union with Christ. Now, I thank God for church. Don't you? I'm so glad to be here tonight and be with God's people. And I'll tell you what, there's been two times in my life since I've been saved that I missed out on being with folks. And one was 3 years ago as I was in the hospital so much. And then the last couple of months, though, a few of us gathered. And I love going to church. It's been a part of my life. It's a great aspect. I like being with God's people. I like seeing their faces. Some of them are hard to look at for very long, but nonetheless, you love seeing each other, amen, and see how they're doing, and it does something for us, and it builds in our lives. But sometimes folks substitute all of that as union with Christ. That's all they have. But there's not that inner relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have an inward relationship with Christ, I believe you will be examining yourself every day in the light of the Word of God to see where you're at that day. In fact, the Apostle Paul, what did he say? He said, I die daily. What was he saying? I look at myself, I don't like what I see, and so I got to die to myself day after day after day. And my goodness, empty Christianity. What is it? It's form without the power thereof, or denying the power thereof. And what's God say to do? From such turn away. I have a question for you tonight. Do those closest to you see the reality of his lordship in your daily life? Do they see it? I mean, you might say, oh yeah, they see it. Do they? Is it real? So real that they can't help but see it? Or is it something that's just a form as opposed to someone that you're very, very near to? Number two, empty Christianity, I believe, has misplaced affections. It's significant that we find here in this list that there is love that is wrongly directed. We find, first of all, it says, lovers of their own selves. Wow. Lovers of their own selves. Interesting, isn't it? Do you notice what verse 4 says as it gets done going through all of those? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's misplaced affections. It's very significant that we find also in the book of 1 Timothy talking about the love of money. There's lovers of self, lovers of money, there's lovers of pleasure. And so many folks are lovers of themselves. For many years, I heard preachers, I heard people, I heard all sorts of things. I read in books and they'd be proclaiming, the psychologists and preachers and so many, that people needed self-esteem. You remember that? People just need to have their self-esteem raised up. They need to have self-love. And I always wondered, where do they get that from? You see, the Bible is very clear that men love themselves all too much. There's a great commandment, and it's in two parts, and it says to love God and love your neighbor. It's not in three parts that says love yourself. You and I, we're the problem. There's too much self-love. And the Bible, I believe, is very clear of that. Real love. It's not love of myself. Matter of fact, love then becomes sacrificial. Remember what it says in Ephesians? It says, husbands, love your wives. Now, he's going to tell us what that means. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Real love is sacrificial. It's not putting you on the pedestal. It's putting them on the pedestal. It's seeking the best for the loved object. And far too often, Christianity has become that which is lovers of ourselves and what we can get out of it and so forth. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is denying of ourselves. Jesus said, whosoever will come after me and let him deny himself, take up his cross. What's a cross used for? Dying. Take up his cross and follow me. So it's a constant dying to self, denying of ourselves that we might follow after him. So they're lovers of themselves. We find in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 9 and 10, it talks about the lovers of money. It says, they will be rich, fall into temptation and snare. Let me go back and say that again. But they that will be rich, that's their desire, that's their will, that's what they're seeking for. Now, God may give it to you, God may not give it to you, but here's those who are seeking after. It says, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is what? The root of all evil. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Empty Christianity has misplaced affections. We become lovers of ourselves. We become lovers of money. And then the other we find here in verse number, lovers of pleasure, verse number 4, more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasures. And folks say, well, God didn't create you and recreate you that you'd be miserable. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. But it's not about us. It's all about him. 60 years ago, have you heard of a man called Harry A. Ironside? Famous preacher. 60 years ago, he said, and I quote, the church of God has gone into the entertainment business. People must be amused, and as the church needs the people's money, the church must perforce supply the demand and meet the craving. That sounds like a whole lot of modern-day Christianity. Lovers of pleasure and want to be entertained. The entertainment business today, it's huge. But do we understand something? Young people, you need to look at this. Genuine pleasure is not in entertainment. Did you hear that? Genuine pleasure is not in entertainment. Entertainment lasts for just a little bit, and then you have to have some more. And some more, and some more, and some more. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Where's it at? It's with him. It's with him. I've said it in the past, I'll say it tonight. It's not what you're doing, it's who you're doing it with. I've had the privilege to do some really neat things in life. I've got to see some places that I never dreamed to have gotten to see. But it's not so much the things and that and the places. It's the people that I got to do it with. Would you like to take a vacation by yourself? There's a few oddballs like that. But I'm not one of them. We are people who want people. We're herders. That's why we call it a flock. And so we need that kind of thing. And what am I saying? It needs to be with the Lord first and foremost. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Have you ever sit down and begin to read a word of God and, boy, something just jumps out at you, go, wow. And it's like it's almost like something, it's like a piece of jerky. You can just sit there and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it. And it's magnificent. And while you're doing it, another thought comes and it kind of develops and goes a little farther and a little farther. And you're going, wow. By the way, if you do that very often, you'll start preaching it. Because that's what takes place in a heart. There's a presence of the fullness of joy, and it's with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are near to him, as we understand he's with us day after day, in whatever we're doing, it's with him. I forget how many years ago it was. We went down south to Florida and went with Jeff and Teresa and I think Lindsay was along. And while we were down there, I don't know whose bright idea it was, wanted to go parasailing. But you did go. And the best part of the whole thing was going with her. She's up there. So beautiful, so quiet. You're kind of floating around up there, and she's up there. I can't remember what Lindsay was doing because I was laughing at her too much. It wasn't what I did. It'd be no fun at all going up there by yourself. That's like going out in the yard and flying a kite, nobody around. You like to do it with somebody, amen? Yeah. And what do we learn from all that? Listen, it's that you and I can have great pleasure as we come to the presence of Almighty God. And he calls it fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. It's neat. That's an old word, but it's neat. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And we'll be hearing about a missionary or two tonight. Our Father, we want to thank you this evening for your precious word. We thank you, O God, tonight that you want us to discern all these things and to look at ourselves and to see where we're really at. You want us to be able to focus on you and not, we know there's events of the day, but putting you first, that our life might be pleasurable in that regard. Lord, I pray that you will just bless in the moments to follow, and Lord, we might be more knowledgeable in our prayer for our missionaries. We thank you for them, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.